We're in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21 this morning. Righteousness applied to relationships. The theme of the epistle to the Romans is that God's righteousness is available to man by faith from start to finish, Romans 1, 16 and 17. This belief is often not accepted in Christendom. Some claim that one must have faith plus works to be justified. Others say that we are justified by faith. We cannot righteously live a godly life by faith. Well, having explained the theology of God's righteousness applied to justifying believers in Christ, Paul showed how that righteousness applies to one's life and service as a Christian in Romans 12, 1 to 15, 13. Well, in Romans 12, 9 to 21, we see how God's righteousness is to be applied to our relationships and review it for our insight. I'd like to start with a word of prayer and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your oversight, the ministry of the Spirit of God to us and through us. We ask for wisdom this morning to pay attention to what the Spirit of God is leading us to understand in the Word of God and to rely on the Spirit to understand it and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, what I'd like to do is read the verses and then we'll look at them. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If you thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, God's righteousness is to be applied to our relationships to ourselves, then to relationships with other believers, and then finally to relationships with the world. First of all, ourselves. We should not be slack in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Notice verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I had a sixth grade Sunday school teacher who said, always bounding in the work of the Lord. And she was. She would bound around after everything. She was a dear soul. But she was very, very motivated to help the sixth grade boys that she had in her class to grow up and to know the Lord and to love the Lord. But Mrs. Lamb, she was a widow lady. Very influential and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then in attitude, we should rejoice in our hope of our eternal future, a blessing with God. We should be patient when facing tribulations and constantly in prayer. Okay, that's what we should have as far as our relating to ourselves. Then God's righteousness is to be applied to our relationships with fellow believers. That's verse 10, verse 13, verses 15 through 21. First of all, verse 10, We need to love one another with a brotherly affection and outdo one another in honoring others. It's very important. I think there's a passage that says preferring one another above ourselves. Number two, we should donate to meet the material needs of fellow believers and seek to show hospitality. Verse 13. Our church does abound in this. We have a food pantry and I think right now we've got around $3,000 in the food pantry, which is wonderful. And this donates to meet people, the needs of people in our church, as well as people outside of our church, often our home missionaries as well. And then hospitality, this is something that is on the growth, which is healthy. We need to be sensitive to the feelings of other believers. That is, we should rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Verse 15, it means come alongside and identify with how people are genuinely feeling and understand where they're coming from and rejoice with those who have something to rejoice about. Weep with those who weep. We need to identify with feelings of other people, and we need to be sensitive people. Sometimes there's a tendency to be insensitive. You just have your own little world you live in, and you go and you don't think about your brother or your sister sitting in the pew next to you. But God wants us to be constantly mindful of people who are around us and to minister to them. Then we need to live in harmony with each other by not being haughty, but associating with the lowly. That's verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things. That means don't be arrogant. But condescend or identify with people of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Dan and Judy McCarty one time told me how they were sitting at a table. And Dr. John Wickham, you know, he's a Wickham and Morris fame who wrote the book Genesis Flood. Dr. Wickham was a professor, I think, of Old Testament at Grace Theological Seminary. He spied them. I think they were at the Answers in Genesis. So Dr. Wickham came over and sat with them and talked with them, thoroughly enjoyed fellowshipping with them. And Dan and Judy were kind of blown away because this is a very famous Christian man. But he had no problem. And he related to them, and he thoroughly enjoyed interacting with them. That's the type of attitude God wants us to have, condescending. Feel free to come and comfortable to relate with the weakest and the least. And Dan and Judy viewed themselves very much the inferior of Dr. Wickham, but he didn't make them feel inferior at all. He related to them as though they were his equal. That's a wonderful thing. Another man who did that is Dr. Walvert. He was the president of Dallas Seminary. He would love just to sit down and talk with ordinary Christians. He would come into a church and he'd sit in a Sunday school class and listen to one of his students teach the Sunday school class, not because he was trying to critique him. He just thoroughly enjoyed listening and being part of the class. And so that's what we need to do, condescend to people lowest rate. Then in place of repaying evil for evil, we need to focus on what is honorable in front of everybody. Verse 17, let me get this here. Recompense, pay back to no man evil for evil. If you've been done evil, you don't pay back evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, do that which is going to look good in front of all the believers, even if you've been wronged. And that takes reliance on the Holy Spirit, because the tendency is you want to fight back, you want to get even. And God doesn't want us to do that. And then as much as is possible in us, we should try to live peaceably with all other believers, verse 18. If it be possible. Now, Paul indicates that sometimes it's not possible. There are some brethren and sistern, as they say, who are absolutely difficult. But as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And then, when wronged, we should never avenge ourselves, but leave room for God's wrath to be expressed. For Deuteronomy 32, 35, and Psalm 94, 1 present God as claiming that vengeance is his. He will repay. Romans 12, 19. Accordingly, if our enemy is hungry, we should feed him. Thirsty, we should give him something to drink. For by doing so, we will heap burning coals on his head. Now, when I first read that, I thought, ooh, that's getting even. Because you put burning coals on its head, that's going to burn. But there, you have to understand what the culture is. The coals on head may refer to a ritual in Egypt in which a person showed his repentance by carrying a pan of burning coals on his head, so that helping rather than cursing an enemy may cause him to be ashamed and penitent. Essence, then, when wrong, we should not ourselves be overcome by evil by reacting with vindictiveness, but overcome the wrong by doing what is good. What is the best thing to do in a situation like that? Think in terms of that. And that way we have a tendency to mollify a lot of wickedness that occurs, a lot of injustice, and calm the waters. That's what God wants us to do. Try to make a molehill out of a mountain instead of trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. And that's very good. Now, God's righteousness is to be applied to our relationships with people in the world. Romans 12:9, 12:14, and 12:18 to 21. First of all, we should let our love be genuine towards others in the world. In verse 9a, it says, let love be without. The King's English says dissimulation. That's a big word for hypocrisy. Don't let it be hypocritical. Even in relating to unsaved people in the world, we need to be very genuine in how we relate to them. Unsaved people can pick up on hypocrisy sometimes a lot faster even than Christians. And if they know you're a Christian and you're acting hypocritically toward them, that's a tremendous turnoff. The best thing to do is to be candid, to be gentle. You don't have to say everything, you know, that's in your heart, but whatever we do, we need to be kind. We need to be genuine about it and approachable with people. This is very, very important in relating to the unsaved world. Then we should also abhor what is evil, but hold fast to what is good in relating to the world. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now that's tough, because a lot of times people in the world will think that if we're pulling back from that which is evil, that we're pulling back from them, that we don't like them. We had to be real careful to clarify, it's not our attitude towards them. It's the evil itself that they may be involved with or committed to. But and sometimes it's a little awkward in coming to that point, but God wants us to go ahead. If we're supposed to be salt and light in the world, we have to stand out and be different. We have to be righteous in a world that is unrighteous. So we should always have a kindness towards people and gentleness towards them, but at the same time we can be intolerant of that which is wicked and that which is sinful. God will give us wisdom in the situation. When persecuted, we should bless and not curse those who persecute us. Now that takes the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. The tendency is always to be defensive and to react. And we have to really watch, curtail the reaction. If we get persecuted, what we need to do is to turn around and bless people. And that takes relying on the Holy Spirit. Only God through us can react that way when we are facing persecution. Now, as in B6 above, as much as is possible in us, we should try to live peaceably with the people who are in the world. Now, sometimes that's not possible. You know, if someone is drawing a gun on you, and you know, you have to, that's obviously an exception where you have to, you know, function differently. But live peaceably with people in the workplace. Often in the workplace, we're working shoulder to shoulder with unsaved people. It can happen in any business realm or institution or government realm where we work. But we should try to live peaceably with people. Sometimes it's not possible, but as much as is possible, we should try. And as we walk with the Lord and as we grow in the Lord, we're going to find our versatility will increase here. We'll be able to handle relating to people who are more and more impossible to get along with. And that will be a measurement of spiritual maturity. But that's what God wants us to try to do. Then, when wronged by unsaved people in the world, as in the case of B7 above, we should never avenge ourselves, but leave room for God's wrath to be expressed. We should help instead of curse our enemies, hopefully causing them to be ashamed and penitent, that we not be overcome with evil vindictiveness, but overcome our having been unjustly wronged by doing what is good. It's a big, big lesson there. So, in lesson, applying God's righteousness in relationships by relying on the Holy Spirit, and that's what Romans 8, 3 and 4 is, talking about the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us who walk by means of the Spirit rather than the flesh. Number one, with ourselves, we should not be slack in zeal, but fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, constantly in prayer. Toward fellow believers, we should love one another with a brotherly affection and honor each other, donating to meet the material needs of others, showing hospitality, being sensitive with the feelings of each other. Let me get this here. Living in harmony, not in pride, but in humility, not repaying evil for evil, but doing what is honorable before all, striving to live peaceably with other believers, leaving vengeance for God to handle while overcoming evil with good. Toward the world, we should genuinely love others, abhorring evil and holding firmly to the good, blessing and not cursing when persecuted, leaving vengeance with the Lord as we overcome evil with good. So in application, may we heed Paul's directives in relating to ourselves, to other believers, and to others in the world. Now, obviously, each one of these steps takes relying on the Holy Spirit. We don't have the capacity within us to do all of this, because left up to our sin natures many times wants to go in the opposite direction. We want to be self-centered. If someone mistreats us, we just want to do a number on them. So we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. We have to think in terms of people who are around us. We have to think in terms of mollifying that which is wicked and evil around us, being a testimony to people around us, being concerned, understanding where people are coming from, being sensitive to their feelings, whether they're happy, whether they're sad, and why, and interacting with people in regards to that. So it takes the Holy Spirit. So as we rely on the Holy Spirit, we will have the capacity to carry out each one of these functions. Okay, we're going to open it up now.